My volunteers, please. You know who you are if you can come up. They're going to be my runners. So when I ask you a question, you put your hand up. Can you just give them some encouragement as they come up? Thank you very much. So I'm going to switch mics. Okay, are you guys ready? So children, when I ask a question, if you know the answer, you put your hand up, and Tiok will come with the microphone. If you get the question correct, you'll get a prize. If you get the answer wrong, it'll go to the youth. If the youth get it correct, you get a prize. If you get the answer wrong, it'll go to the adults. If the adults don't know it, I get to eat the chocolate. That's how it works. I asked Jesus, and he said it was okay. Okay, so question one. How many sons did Noah have? Tiok, you're up.
Do I have to pick?
You have to pick.
Oh, no.
You're a runner, so right now you need to be doing your... How many sons did Noah have?
Three.
He had three sons. That is correct. One. Next question. How many women survived the flood? How many women survived the flood? You're up, Tiok. There are a few hands, left and right.
Four.
Four women, is that correct? Yes, it is.
Do you want sweets or chocolate?
Okay, next question. It's getting a little bit harder. What was the name of Noah's great-grandson? You need to be somewhere in the middle, Tiok.
Gosh, wait.
What was the name of Noah's great-grandson?
Nimrod.
Nimrod is correct.
Oh. Okay. Chocolate.
Now, trick question.
Chocolate.
What was the name of Nimrod's grandfather? What was the name of Nimrod's grandfather?
Noah?
It wasn't Noah. That was his great-grandfather.
Abraham?
It wasn't Abraham. So now you have to go to the youth.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got some children there. Okay, we can have a couple more. There's one.
Yeah.
There's one. What was the name of Noah's? No, not Noah. Nimrod's.
Ham.
It's correct. It is Ham. Well done. That was very, very good.
Sweet.
Okay. Very hard question. How many languages did the people speak? Parents, no helping your children, please. This is a children's. I heard that.
One.
One language is correct.
Wait, do you want sweets or chocolate?
Okay. Now, what was the name of the land where the people settled? What was the name of the land where the people settled?
Shinar
is correct. Shinar. Okay, so Nimrod got up and he said, "We shall build a city. We're going to use bricks and..." Out. Who was that? That was a parent. What do we do now? Mortar is correct, but you don't get any prizes. But that is the correct answer. Bricks and mortar. Okay. They wanted to build a tower with its top that reached to where? That's why I'm not doing the choosing.
Up to the heavens.
The heavens is correct. Okay. A bit of a There are two answers to this question. Why did they want to settle there? Why did they want to settle in the land of Shinar? There's a hand up front. Why did they want to settle in the land of Shinar?
Is it because the land was like big enough for their city?
The land was big enough for the city? Probably, but that's not the answer I'm looking for. Another one?
It was flat.
It was flat. Flat Earth theory. No. Was that under record? That, okay. Moving along very quickly. Quickly moving along. That's not the answer we're looking for.
Is it because they wanted to make a name for themselves?
Because they wanted to make a name for themselves. That is right. Ooh. That is correct. There is one more answer.
I didn't know that one.
There is one more. Why did they want to build a city? Any others, young people? Well, we've had a young person. So adults that haven't already answered a question. You've already answered a question. Why did they want to settle in the land of Shinar? Any adults? Oh my goodness. Go on then. So they would not be scattered is correct. And also to make a name for themselves. That is correct. Okay, I think we've only got a couple more. Why was the city called Babel? Runner, you need to run somewhere. Why was the city called Babel? Yes.
Because that was the city where they spoke different languages.
Not really.
That's not quite the answer. You're very close, but not quite the answer.
God scattered them.
Not quite the answer either. Young people, where am I youth at?
Youth.
Why was it called Babel?
Wait.
Where am I youth at? Oh.
I despise you. Because that's where God scattered the languages.
That's...
Come on.
I don't like that one. But it's true. That's where God confused the languages. Semantics. The Lord confused their language. And then, after confusing the language, the people were scattered. That is right. Bonus question. This bonus question for everybody. Bonus question. Now you know what I was like. Are all the answers in the video? Yes, all the answers are in the video. At the end, when it showed the last clip of the tower, those of you who were very, very observant would have counted how many floors were in that tower. How many floors were in the tower at the end of the video? Runner.
Yeah, I'm having it.
You got people over there. How many floors? Close, but no.
Tyler, last question you pick.
Go on, it is the last question. So quick. You got some shoulders that are
just... So really, you just pick.
Quick.
Okay.
How many floors?
7 or 8.
No.
I'm Gadi, your turn.
One more.
18?
Not 18. Last one. Last try. Last call. Last call.
Okay, the adults and the youth didn't get a turn.
Okay, youth, young people, adults, anyone?
Wait.
How many floors?
Wait, what?
I'm going to have to put it up.
Oh, there is something in the back. Wait.
15,000 is... The correct answer is 14. So, Jada, you were one floor off, 14 floors. Well done. All right, we're going to... Oh, yeah, last question. Oh, I've already put the answer up. Okay. That was the last question there. Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. Do read the story. Read the story. The whole point of what we're doing. Thank you guys so much. And before you go, I need you to put those tables out. Round of applause for the helpers. They're still helping.
Slaves, bro.
Okay, go on.
We are encouraging the young people to read through the Bible. We're encouraging the children to know the Bible, to know the overall story of the Bible. One thing that I miss as my kids got older was those times that we spent together in evenings putting them to bed where we could read Bible stories. Those times are invaluable. They're absolutely invaluable. And I really want to encourage you guys just to, as a family, have those times where you read the Bible systematically. I know we pick memory verses here and there, but actually knowing the overall story, knowing the characters, knowing who came first and what happened is really, really important to ground you in your faith. Now, I need some volunteers because Nimrod had this idea to build a tower. And so, what I want us to do is to build four towers. So I'm going to about the Tower of Babel for you to take away with yourself, compose myself. So just some quick 10 fun facts about the Tower of Babel that you might not have known. The Tower of Babel was built 200 years after the flood, so it wasn't actually a long time. Noah and his sons were still alive when that all was happening. Noah would have been 800 years old when they were building that tower. So the people would have known the story about the flood. That would be the dominant story that the culture of that day would have known. Why the nations were all in the east and why they were moving and scattering abroad. Noah lived a total of 950 years. So that means that Noah died, when he died, 2 years after he died, Abram was born. And actually, Abram never met Noah, but he could have actually met, could have. Jewish tradition holds that they did meet. It would make sense because God passes on his testimony from one generation to the next. It would make sense because God chooses Abram, who has an awareness of God. So it would make sense, but the Bible doesn't say that, but it would make sense. So Noah passed away, Abram was born, so Abram could have met Shem, one of Noah's sons. Now Shem lived until he was 600 years old. Sorry, I didn't switch off the thing. We finished the game now. Shem lived until he was 600 years old and lived for 502 years after. Can you imagine being 502 years old? It would have been amazing having this majestic patriarch around. He would have been like a Gandalf figure. Some people actually think he was Melchizedek. There's a whole theory about how, because he came from like a world before, like an old world that was destroyed. But Shem died when Abraham was 150 years old, which means that Isaac was 50 years old. So even Isaac could have met Shem. And that story, that legacy, could have been passed on to Isaac. Because again, God passes on his testimony. Because he says, one generation shall declare my praises to the next. So it makes sense then when the people decide to move. You see, when the flood happened, as you read the Bible story, you'll realize that deserts and ice scapes were a result of the flood. The Bible says that. It was a paradise world. The flood came, destroyed everything. The climate radically changed. So you had ice caps forming, you had deserts forming. So that's why people were spreading out, so that they would find somewhere that was fertile, that they could farm, that they could grow crops and feed their animals. So that's what that was about. And when they found that land of Shinar, it had rivers, it had oases, it had palm trees, it was lush. And so they said, we're gonna stay here. We're gonna stay here. They would have heard the stories, because Noah and Shem would have been telling those stories. God has commanded us to fill the earth, to subdue the earth, to multiply. And they said, now we're just going to stay here instead. And then you have Nimrod, who begins to rise as a leader. You see, Nimrod would have heard the stories of what happened before the flood. The Bible tells us that before the flood, there were mighty men of renown. These were like demigods, if you read the story, because you had angels that came down from heaven, and they mixed with humanity, and the offspring were mighty men of renown. Some people believe that that's where we get legends from, like Thor and Hercules and all these demigods. That's the idea, the sons of the gods, and they were worshipped. These stories would have been passed down by Noah's children. And so when you have a guy like Nimrod, and he's like, wow, I can become this mighty man, I can gather all the people, I can rule all over them, and instead of them scattering, I'll just build cities, and I'll be the king over all these people. He would have heard the stories that actually, that's not what God wants. And so he started to build a great city. And it's interesting just finding out that question, why build a tower? Why do you want a name for yourself? Why build a tower? You see, it's a sign that they knew what had happened, on the one hand, about the flood. And so if my man is not wanting to follow God's commands, he must be in his mind, there would be people that were saying to him, listen, if you disobey God, judgment's going to come back again, and we don't want that. But he doesn't want to follow God, so he says, I know what I'm going to do. If God decides to flood the earth again, I'm going to build this massive, massive, massive tower all the way to the heavens so that even if they flood the earth, I'll just be at the top of the tower fishing. Well, you know, they didn't know about earthquakes back then, but anyway, that was the kind of idea, to defy what God had said. Never mind the fact that he would know the story that, well, God has promised not to send a flood. That's why we have the, what do we have? Rainbow. Thank you. But it also shows a lack of trust in God's word. Because if God has promised that he's not going to flood the world again, and you're building a massive tower just in case he does, so that you can climb to the top of it, you're probably not trusting in God. But that tower had another symbolism attached to it. When it says we want to build a tower to the heavens, and by the time you read your Bible about what Babylon and the city of Babylon symbolizes, in the Old Testament, for Daniel and his friends, in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, you find out that Babylon symbolizes false religion and idolatry. This was where the idea of a tower to the heavens, it wasn't just building a tower so that you can escape a flood. It was building a tower to where the gods were. We're going to build a tower to where the gods are. We're going to form our own religion. And so you see the birth of the worship of the heavens. You see the birth of the worship of the sun and the moon and the stars, the things that are in the heavens. It's why God, when he gathers his people later on in the story, he says to them, you must not worship anything in the heavens or make an image of anything in the heavens. Back then, they believed that angels and stars and celestial objects were divine beings. And you had this birth of astrology and horoscopes. We call them zodiac signs. They began to worship them. And so there was that double aspect, building a false religion. Building a tower of our own, of their own goodness, of their own ideas, to make themselves ascend to where the gods are. But you know the story. It led to idolatry, and God looks down and scatters the people. And just to sum up this morning, again, God looked for somebody. Again, God looked for somebody who he could trust. In the old world, he found Noah and called Noah and his family. He looked for somebody that wasn't going along with the crowd, that wasn't into the whole popularity culture that the crowd was into, somebody that wasn't interested in the earthly fame and fortune that would come in big city, big name, big lights, because that was what they were all about, monuments to their own achievement, fame and fortune. He looked for a man that trusted him. And he found that man, Abram, and he said, they want to be a great nation. He said to Abram, I'm going to make you into a great nation. They want to have a name for themselves. They want to be something big, famous. And God says, Abram, I'm going to make your name famous. They wanted to be like the gods and ascend to the heavens. God promised Abram that he and his descendants would shine like what? The stars of the heavens. What all they were trying to achieve in the natural, with their false religion, God came and said, Abram, because you believe in me, because you trust me, you will shine like the stars of the heavens. I will make your name great, and you will become a great nation. And so he calls Abram, and that's what the Lord said to Abram, Genesis 12. Go forth from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. See, God said to them to populate the earth and bless the earth. And God said, well, because you guys are refusing to do that, Abram, you and your descendants will be the blessing over the earth. And so Abram and his family left that land, and they decided to trust God. God didn't tell them where they were going. God just said, just leave, and I will show you as you begin to journey. And so Abram took his family, and they left trusting in God. If you want to know the rest of the story, you've got to come back to church next week. It'll be in Sunday school. We'll leave it on that cliffhanger. Like, what happened to him? How many kids did he have? Did they make it to the land? How long did it take? Did his children become stars in the heavens like God promised? It's an absolutely amazing story. And I just want to encourage you to do pick up your Bible. Like, really do pick up your Bible. Do spend that time with the Lord. Do spend that time reading it, asking the Holy Spirit to bring it to life to you, asking the Holy Spirit to show you the promises that he, because the promises to Abraham are your promises. The blessings of Abraham are your blessings if you believe like he did. So I'm going to close now. I'm just going to pray over you guys that hunger for God's word, that hunger that his word would come to life in you, and that you'd have an understanding and a love for his word, because you encounter the Lord not just through worship, but also through his word. So Heavenly Father, we do thank you this morning for your word. Your word is living. Your word is active. Your word accomplishes the purposes that has been sent. Your word transforms us. There is power, oh God, in your word. And Heavenly Father, as we've just explored this story, I pray that you stir that hunger within us to just spend time finding out what was it that you have done through history? What are the promises that you have made to us? Who are the people that you have called? How did you impact their lives? And what can we learn from their lives, how you impact our lives? How do we learn how you want us to live and hope and trust and walk with you? By looking at the patriarchs, the matriarchs, the people that you encountered through your word. So Father God, I ask for this blessing this morning on our youth, on our children, and us as adults, that you put that hunger for your word, an understanding for your word, and above all, Father God, that we encounter you and the power of your presence in your word. If it pleases you, Lord Jesus, bless us with these things. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you guys. Have a fun. Oh, one.